It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms. I did. Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons. It was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Pieces and stems, still rocking it. It was more than a team name. I don't know exactly how long ago that was, but it was probably... had to be before the days of my having lots of teams, like lots. So it's a username for me and not a team name. All the team names come underneath the umbrella, the largesse of pieces and stems. Ironic, isn't it? Because pieces and stems are really little. In that tiny little can that's like 89 cents. Would Bulldog wrap the pieces and stems in foil? Cheap shot. Would he do that? They're already in oil. Maybe they don't need to be in foil. You don't need the F. Sometimes you do in life, but not that time. So you just have the oil already, pieces and stems, boom, tiny little can, just like a toothpick is all you need for those little guys. What? Pieces and stems. What's such a great name. I have a tough time finding the beans in the store. The signs are usually pretty... self-explanatory, and they don't really confuse you, but I never see, like, where are the beans? I just never seem to know. There's baking, there's pasta, there's Asian and Mexican, there's crunchy snacks. You know, you have kind of themes in the... I never can find the beans. I don't know. That's a me problem. Almost every time I go to the grocery store, I end up at least once on the app for where is something. And I'll be like right there and I don't see it. And it'll say, you're in 13B. You need to be in 13B and like level 5 or something. I don't understand that. Probably like which shelf it's on. And I wouldn't be good on a game show where you had to run around the store and find things. Run around the store and fill your shopping cart like a supermarket sweep bonus round situation. The show has never sounded older. With the most expensive things in the store, that I could do, I think. That's something we have not spent enough time on in the history of this show, is how you would attack that. 60 or 120 seconds in a grocery store, where are you going? I mean, you're going to the steaks, I think, first. You're going to the ribeye. You're going to the big cuts of meat. But after that, it might get a little bit more nuanced. Anyway, with me now on the West Her Hotline is Mike Tenier. Mike has covered the NFL for a long time. He and Aaron Schatz, a great team over the years, too. And I'm always excited to talk to Mike and Aaron, kind of because you can get into some historical context with stuff that you can't do with just anybody. And so, Mike, that's kind of where my head is at as we embark here. Thanks for joining me.
My head is at 120 seconds at a shopping spree in a supermarket.
Where are you?
That's the rules.
Where are you going? What's your plan of attack?
I'm stocking up on detergent and toilet paper and all the expensive home chemicals right away, and I'm cutting out. You're going for the steaks. You do not have, I guess maybe you have a freezer to put those steaks in. You're not going to be able to get to those steaks in time. You're going to load up your freezer and your refrigerator too quickly. I'm going to have my stuff stored in the garage. I will never have to buy detergent again.
I wasn't thinking so much about the consumption side of this, but now that you're talking, I probably should be. I wasn't thinking. I feel like on these game shows, they don't take any of that stuff home. They just sort of, somebody rings them up and this is the most money. And so here you go. You won $10,000 or something. But
Look at the price of the detergents nowadays. Yep. You're going to rack up a lot of money just getting that stuff. $25 for like a big container of it.
You know what else, Mike? Spices.
Yes. Oh, yes. No, if that's the deal, go straight to the spices. Go find like the saffron and stuff like that and just dump the entire thing in your cart and go walking out like a king.
All the Ceylon cinnamon they have are going home with
me. Yes, white pepper, yellow pepper. Go get it.
White pepper, tarragon, saffron, you said. That's perfect. All right, well.
Olive oil.
Like I said, I've been sitting here for 24 years. We haven't really done enough on just how to attack a grocery store in this way. Mike, so the Bills, historically, I've seen the references to how only the 70s Rams have gone as long as 8 years in a row in the playoffs without a championship. And even they got to one Super Bowl. What are the Bills for you if you think about like the last decade? I mean, they're probably like both a success and a failure, maybe to some extent.
Right. On the historical stage, they're this success. You know, there's the Chiefs and then like everybody else, and the Bills are in there. And maybe you want to put a team like the Eagles, who have like, you know, two recent Super Bowls ahead of them. But the Bills are in this all-time everything but the ring list. And they may be at the top of that. And when you're living through it, it feels very much like a failure. I'm sure the listeners are nodding along. It doesn't feel great to be there. But then if you look back at it 20 years later, it's like, well, this was a golden era. Look at these guys. Look at Josh Allen. Look at what they accomplished. I don't know what kind of comfort you bring from that, though, when you're in the midst of it.
Yeah, and that's something where, especially as a host in this market, I don't want to try to skip ahead to the end. And what do we say if they don't ever get there? We do have the 90s Bills as some point of reference for that. But so I don't want to do that out loud, but I think maybe everybody does ponder that, is like, is this actually going to culminate in a championship? Because if it doesn't, it would just seem like such a wasted, not entirely, but sort of a wasted opportunity at least. Because how many teams get gifted with this kind of player and don't win?
And that's it. I'm guessing you have to deal with it day in, day out, week in, week out. You win by 30 points in September and October, and people are calling in or they're listening and they're shrugging. They're shrugging their shoulders. That's expected. That's what we're supposed to do. You lose a game to the Falcons. That the sky is absolutely falling. There's nothing you can hang your hat on. It's like, well, we had a parade, so maybe this is an off year and we can bounce back. You don't see all those things that other teams get to point to and say, well, we've been to the top, so we know what it looks like and we can do that again. It's got to be frustrating. And yeah, everybody who remembers the 1990s Bills, they reached the Super Bowl. As heartbreaking as it was time and time again, that team, which wasn't really as strong statistically as this team, at least got there year after year after year, and that hope would come in. This team, you hope that we're not talking about them in the past tense at this point, but I understand that the fear you have that you might be doing so.
Yeah. I wonder if you could concoct a trade between those teams and this team, how you would do it.
Oh,
like,
wow.
The big difference is I think the biggest difference is the quality of the AFC in the Bills Super Bowl years versus now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. Like, you have to trade Patrick Mahomes away or something like that, so that it has an easier road along the way. Although you look back then and you had these John Elway-led teams. You had a Dan Marino-led team in your division at that point. So it was tough back then. If you're going to make some kind of trade, try to get Bruce Smith on this team.
No kidding.
Get Bruce Smith on this team, and I think your problems are solved. And that's one of the stories of the last couple of years. It's like, well, who is that elite edge rusher, takes it over the top? You're always trying to get that guy as a free agent late in his career, and it never quite works out.
Yeah, that's easier for me than the other way around, like Bruce Smith or Andre, right? Just like,
okay,
you know, this team, a top five wide receiver in the league, a number one, if not number one, number two defensive end, if not defensive player in the NFL, Bruce Smith in his prime. So, yeah, that would work. Mm-hmm. Well,
it's
an interesting moment here, Mike, in the conference, because for a couple of years, and we've spoken during that time a few times, how you kind of have, I mean, every division in the conference, the champion repeated 23-24, and then in 25, it all got wiped out. It was, you know, Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati all had losing records. So, we have kind of an old guard, new guard, so to speak, in the conference now, where you have the teams that we're used to talking, including the Bills, we're used to talking about as like the elites. And now we've got New England and Denver and, I mean, maybe Jacksonville. I'm not sure that's the whole list. So it's cluttered right now.
It is very clever, cluttered. It was almost like the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs all pulled in the pit row at the same time. The Chiefs were on fire because of injuries, and the other two teams, it's like, well, so it was time to change things up. And everyone's pulling out of pit row now with a different story. And the Bills feel like they're the strongest of those three teams right now. The Ravens lost so much in free agency. I think it's losing a lot to go from Harbaugh to sort of Harbaugh light in Mentor. You know, you can't discount the Chiefs, but again, you're looking at, well, is Patrick Mahomes even healthy for week one? That's a big question. Are we still doing this thing with Travis Kelce and Chris Jones? The Bills should be the strongest team, but the Bills may have the toughest in division competitor as well, where you look at that, that the Patriots, they got significantly stronger and they reached the Super Bowl. So right away you have like, well, we're in better shape than these other guys, yet we have the biggest questions to ask because we might have the biggest foe that we have to face twice a year.
Right. With Mike Tenier, I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off this week. I want to get back to present day, but now going back to historical, Aaron just did a piece for ESPN on the best by DVOA. A statistic, a metric you're very, very familiar with. All the teams in NFL history that did not make a Super Bowl. And I thought it was interesting that on his ranking, the 23 and 24 Ravens were like both top four teams on this list. The Bills, you have to dig a little bit deeper. I want to talk about this somewhat later because it's 2022 when they lose to Cincinnati that comes in at the top of Bills teams on this list. Do you think of it as maybe these metrics would reflect that the Ravens have had more, I don't know, claim or more, were more sort of, what's the word I want, deserving of a trip to the Super Bowl than the Bills? Or, I mean, the Bills knocked them out a couple times.
Yeah, you know, one of the things with the Ravens is they have the statistical dominance. And then when you look at, when you look closely at what happened to them, it, you understand why. When you zoom out, you see it because it's like, well, you know, not just Lamar Jackson, but Derrick Henry a lot of these years and Kyle Hamilton and all these other stars. And then you zoom into what happened. And, you know, last year was kind of a great example. It's like, well, the guy's foot was out of bounds on a touchdown that would have won the game. And then on another game, the ball hit the ground, but like they didn't call it that way. And then the kicker missed the field goal. There's always a shaggy dog story about what happened to the Ravens. Oh, it was fourth and two and Lamar rolled out and the receiver, you know, dropped the ball. Or there's so many examples like that of what happened to the Ravens. When you start saying things like deserving, I think even, you know, a John Harbaugh would flinch at that. It's like, right, if you deserve it, you make the one or two plays. You don't lose the one or two plays.
That's
but
right.
The statistics do show, yeah, they show that those Ravens teams were special among special. So are those Bills teams. But, you know, they make great historical articles in August, and that, you know, 50 cents buys you a newspaper.
Yeah, I didn't want deserving. I was scrambling a little bit because, like, that's,
yeah,
that's
hard.
Right. That's sports. I mean, you do have to execute.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, right, in the big spots, the Bills have had a couple 13 seconds where, like, just, okay, well, you have to finish this. And it's not good enough to just talk about how close you were.
Right. It is interesting where it's like, well, the Ravens did this dumb thing in this playoff game. And where the Bills, when you really look at it, it usually is, gosh, what happened in week six against the Dolphins? You know, what happened in that one dumb trap trip over the guy game that meant that they had to play an Arrowhead? That's usually a different question.
Right.
And that's why the Bills were an Arrowhead, and that's why this and that happened. For the Ravens, it's like, well, they were at home, but they did something silly. I guess it's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the Bills have been so good, but they've yet to get to that one. And the one year for me, Mike, where it's the most maddening is the year where Kansas City won all the games against bad teams by 2 points. And they won all the close games, and, you know, big football media just talked about how that meant that they were, like, they knew how to win, and I just was pulling my hair out. The next year, of course, they forgot because they lost every one of those games last year. But, yeah, I mean, the Bills went, they beat Kansas City, I think, that year. They go to that game in Denver the last week, they don't need it, and everybody sits and they lose to finish 15-2. Their one loss was here. I mean, how about this?
Right.
How about this, by the way, Mike? For historical purposes, can there possibly be another example of a team beating a team like Kansas City 5 years in a row in the regular season, which the Bills have done? But in that span, they've gone 0-4, or maybe 1 year further in the back. Like, they've lost to them four times in the playoffs. I mean, you talk about a meaningless, a worthless kind of statistic. Who beats Kansas City 5 years in a row? These guys, yet.
Right.
You know, just that's a tough one to swallow.
It's a tough one. I mean, the analog I think of, and I don't have any statistics in front of me, is how many times the Vikings would win an NFC championship game in the 70s against a Cowboys team or a Rams team that had their number in the regular season, but it would go up to Bloomington before they had a dome. It was negative 25 degrees, and then the Vikings won somehow. It's like, yeah, they won somehow. They weren't freezing to death on the field, but that's the closest analog I can come to the kind of thing that happens with the Bills nowadays.
Right. Back at the Met, where both teams were on the same sideline in those years.
Yes.
Somehow.
Yes.
Somehow that happened. Mike Tenier, my guest. I'm Mike Shope here on WGR. So this year, let's talk about Kansas City for a minute. Mike, like, should the Chiefs be the team that we fixate on or whatever that would be? Or should it be New England? I mean, that's in the division. That's always where you start. Or even Baltimore, I suppose. How do you sort of, like, when you look ahead to this Bills season, who are the biggest potential problems?
Yeah, if I'm a Bills fan, I'm fixating on the Patriots with A.J. Brown now and with a year under a belt and not a lot of reasons. We know the Patriots' schedule was extremely easy last year. And if Aaron was talking to you right now, he'd talk about DVOA and say, so was the Bills' schedule. You know, and the Bills got to play the Jets, too. The Bills got to play the Dolphins, too. And they tripped over the Dolphins once, and they tripped over the Falcons once. And so you look at the Patriots and say, this is the team that you have to worry about. When I go over to the Chiefs, it's tricky because, you know, first of all, we assume now Patrick Mahomes will be back week one. So many changes on defense. You wonder if they did what they had to do on defense or if they lost guys like Trent McDuffie, and that was the veteran secondary that was helping them win one-score games when their offense wasn't chugging along. So, the Chiefs are the vampire that you have to drive the stake through the heart and cut the head off of. They're still out there. But the Bills have not earned the right to look past anyone, particularly in their division, particularly the Patriots.
That's fair, yeah. The Chiefs somehow have managed to become the league's second youngest roster.
Yes.
I don't know how exactly they did that, but now they have that, right. In their favor going forward. So
yeah, it's like Travis Kelce should count as like two 36-year-olds,
right. Yeah.
Or something like that. And yeah, everyone's class of 2024, 2025, they've drafted exceptionally well, and that's kept them relevant.
You wrote about every team's, but the Bills draft back in the spring at Two Deep Zone. And let's talk about sort of Brandon Bean here and what you think of his performance. So he gets the promotion. Sean McDermott gets the door in the offseason. And this draft felt mostly like more of the same. The one big piece that happened around that time was the DJ Moore trade, which, yes. I mean, they're going to want to think helps cover for what they haven't done at receiver in the draft. Will they be right?
Well, I think DJ Moore is the big help that you're looking for. You go out of the bigger question. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Brandon Bean's overall performance in the last couple of years. I think that you talk about the Chiefs and how they found meaningful players, even though they're a first-place team in 2024, 2025. You see a lot less of that in recent drafts for the Bills. You know, Keon Coleman has become this sort of wedge issue type of player. We're talking about this year's draft. They drafted this year as almost like they were drafting depth for 2027, 2028. For that to be true, we need to see Maxwell Hairston out there being an impact player. We need to see Deion Walker, I know he's had a very good camp. I've been reading about that, out there being an impact player. We need to see Cole Bishop. I know he just came back from an injury. You need to see these guys, and if we can talk about them, Coleman as well, I suppose, we can talk about that, and then we can evaluate saying, oh, well, you know, you waited to, it was a second-round pick, and you got T.J. Parker, some of these guys. Then we can do that. But if you don't see the dividends from 24 and 25, then we can't really talk about what he did in 2026 because those were supposed to be the backups to those previous guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Skylar Bell is an interesting one. I know it's a fourth-round pick, but I follow plenty of draft guys who were really excited about him at UConn and thought, like, well, that's good value, and we always want wide receivers around here. Here is one. But, man, is there a place for him with Shakir on the team where, like, you have – is there a role? I know he's a rookie still. Like, that's another consideration. But, Yeah, you called it in your article a square peg receiver, not as a knock on him, but just like sort of how the Bills' offense and their personnel and these drafts have kind of been this throughout for me, Mike, because like Kincaid was a really cool idea, but you have Knox and you're going to use Knox and they want to run the ball then, and that's not going to go away. And so how do you use him? I mean, he's been hurt too. And then Shakir kind of blocks you in a way. And
yeah.
Kincaid and Shakir a little bit overlap because neither's going to play outside, of course. So, well, at least Kincaid isn't, at least. So, I don't know. Right. Like, philosophically, it's been kind of strange.
Philosophically, it's kind of strange. And then you see Jackson Hawes out there blocking his butt off. It's like, well, why can't Knox and Kincaid be on the field at the same time? It's like, well, if you want this big blocker out there, right, he's going to be one of them. You have these slot guys. Now, you know, Shakir's a proven commodity in the slot. Skylar Bell is a small program slot guy. You know how it is at these smaller programs? If you hide the really good guy in the slot, he's being covered by some linebacker for some small program. And, yeah, he's getting open and he's dusting people. I don't know what Skylar Bell really is. In the short term, and again, I know Keon Coleman now, it looks like something similar to turf toe going on, so there's a question there.
Yep.
You know, Shakir should be in the slot. Coleman, I guess, or Palmer should be like the vertical guy. Moore should be the vertical guy. That should be simple. Is it great? No, it's kind of like Shakir and a couple of question marks, older guys, role players, whatever. It's what you got. It's what Josh Allen is stuck with. So is it going to be two tight ends, James Cook, pound the ball? What's it going to look like? We probably know because we saw it last year, because the guy who called the plays last year is still calling the plays this year.
Just a couple of minutes here, Mike, if you have it. Zooming out, the Rams are the pretty clear Super Bowl favorite right now. I mean, a little bit of a distance between the Rams, and then it's Buffalo and Baltimore and some of the usual suspects. Is that line up for you? Like, are the Rams, even without Aaron Donald to this point, maybe bettors are predicting he just walks in the door. Maybe he will. But do you accept the Rams as like sort of the team to beat?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot of times this time of year, it's like, well, pick your Super Bowl winner. And you're stuck either saying, well, it's the Rams, or being a contrarian. Like, the moment you say someone other than the Rams, it's almost like you have to make this argument. And I'm not making the argument. It's the Rams. You go out in the offseason, you get Myles Garrett, and you get Trent McDuffie, and maybe you're getting Aaron Donald, maybe not, but you were already like one or two players away from the Super Bowl, and you got those players. It's the Rams. They're the team to beat until proven otherwise. Seahawks, I think, are tough, but it's hard to argue with the just preponderance of top-end talent that they have on their roster right now.
I know a year ago around this time, as a fantasy player, I was distracted by Matthew Stafford being in that truck outside there and some cryogenic thing. Like, was he even going to play? Is the truck gone? Like, there's no talk about his physical status anymore. Like, we just sort of completely got rid of that last year because he held up.
I think so. Either we stop talking about the truck, or that's where they hide Puka Nacua and Myles Garrett when they're not practicing. And then I don't want to know. If Puka's in there, I do not want to know what's happening in the truck. But I think we've learned with the Rams, it's like they'll hold you out of practice for any reason whatsoever, including you're just a veteran, go play video games or, you know, go fishing or whatever, and we'll make a lie up for you. I'm not going to worry about any Rams injury until it's week one and I see that their status is in doubt.
Mike, if you choose to, like, where are we finding most of your work now? I mentioned Two Deep Zone. What else have you got going on?
Yes. Well, Two Deep Zone is the main place to do it, and you can just Google it, T-O-O Deep Zone. That's my primary home, and you'll find news, stats, analysis, jokes all around the league, all 32 teams, all the time. Again, it's Two Deep Zone. Just search for it in your favorite web browser, and it'll pop up.
Or miketanier.substack.com as well to subscribe and get everything as well. Very good.
Oh, it's no longer at Substack. It is now at Ghost. That's why I was being a little weird about that. And because it's a Ghost, it's got like extra stuff that I don't feel like saying on the radio.
Okay.
T-O-O, Deep Zone. You will find me, promise. You can follow me on Blue Sky as well, at Mike Tanier, T-A-N-I-E-R.
I went and asked you and you answered, and I went and changed your answer, which was very rude of me. Very good. Mike, it's always a treat. Thanks for your time.
Always a pleasure. Take care and enjoy the preseason.
Oh, who wouldn't? Mike Tanier with us on the Western Hotline here on WGR. Next, Daryl Reiter on the Browns, as the Bills are off to see the Browns this week. That'll be after the update. This is Mike Shope on WGR.